Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're going to finish chapter 11 this morning. This is the next to the last and then the last verse, both this morning. Chapter 11 from Canto 5, texts 16, 17. Na yavat etan mana atma lingam samsara tapa vapanam janasya yach choka moha maya raga labha vairanu bandham mamatam vidate Na yavat etan mana atma lingam samsara tapa vapanam janasya yashchoka moha maya raga lobha vairanu bandham mamatam vidate Tan mana atma lingam Sansara tapa vapanam janasya Yachoka moha maya raga lobha Vairanu bandham mamatam vidate Ladies? Na yavare tan mana atma lingam Yavat etan mana atma lingam samsara tapa tapanam janasya yachoka moha maya raga lobha vairanu bandham mamatam vidate not yavat as long as Etat, this, manaha, mind, atmalingam, existing as the false designation of the soul, samsara tapa, of the miseries of the material world, avapanam, the growing ground, janasya, of the living being, yet, which, shoka, of lamentation, moha, of illusion, amaya, of disease, raga, of attachment, lobha, of greed, vaira, of enmity. Anubandham, the consequences. Mamatam, the sense of ownership. Vidhate, gives. Translation, the soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulations in the material world. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable condition of the material body and wander within this universe in different positions because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity. It creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mind is the cause of both material bondage and liberation. The impure mind thinks, I'm this body. The pure mind knows that he is not the material body, therefore the mind is considered to be the root of all material designations. Until the living entity is aloof from the association and contaminations of this material world, the mind will be absorbed in such material things as birth, disease, illusion, attachment, greed, and enmity. In this way, the living entity is conditioned and he suffers material miseries. And final verse, that was the uncontrolled mind. Here's the controlled mind. So the uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of the living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O king, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, do this with great care. Purport. There is one easy weapon, and he gives a second one too, with which the mind can be conquered, -neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders. Actually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times, just after awakening and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction in all the shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, Ramanda Ramita Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti, Bhakti Lata Bija. When one received the seed of devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's real life begins. If one abides by the orders of the spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, he'll be freed from service to the mind. This is going to continue, but it's Transcendental Teachings by Judd Bharat to the King Rahugana. Judd Bharat is qualified, eminently qualified, to give transcendental knowledge, and he detects that Maharaj Rahugana has the capacity to receive. Previously, Judd Bharat wasn't talking to anybody. Apparently, he couldn't find anybody he felt could receive. In any case, he's taking great trouble, time, and patiently explaining to the king transcendental knowledge. And this is a concluding section of this chapter. Attention goes to the mind and the necessity to control the mind. And the consequences if you don't, and the method to do so. The primary method to do so that he's advocating is devotion, bhakti, rendering service according to the instructions of the spiritual master and Krishna in devotion. And by so doing, the mind becomes controlled. Interesting is the verse says, if you don't take control of the mind, it seems to say in a negative sense, if you neglect the mind, it'll get bigger and stronger and take over. However, in the purport, Prabhupada is turning it around the other way. Immediately in the purport is neglect the mind. Neglect the dictates of the mind. That doesn't mean check out of life. It means the dictates of the mind are neglected, and instead the dictates of the soul are attended to. The soul, by the way, has a mind. The covering of matter has different parts, and the material mind is one of those parts. And then the material mind, as we heard this nice list from text 16, of lamentation, of illusion, of disease, of attachment, of greed, of enmity, these are consequences. Anubandham, they're the consequences of the mind that's not controlled. The mind that feels I'm in charge. And my program here is to be an enjoyer. And that's who I am. I'm the enjoyer. And these are different. These arise from that spirit within the mind. And one becomes attached to all these things. And those are the dictates that one should neglect. Actually, it's in text 17, is three things. Neglect, beating, and bhakti. Bhakti is the best. But a bhakti may also neglect. And so that this beating, here Prabhupada is saying shoes, elsewhere he says consistently, one time with shoes, another time with a broomstick. 100 times. I saw a devotee trying to do that. They got a broomstick and were beating their head. You don't beat your head. You beat the mind. So you need a subtle broomstick with a subtle gesture and with a subtle mind and beat the mind that way into submission. And again and again and again, because the mind is unruly. Or neglect. An example that Prabhupada would sometimes give is training a tiger. Capture a tiger and starve the tiger. He becomes weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And he just no strength left. And then the tiger trainer brings a little food, places a little food in front of the lion or tiger, and he gets nourishment. And then starving and starving, and then a little food. So the tiger starts to equate the trainer as the source of his nourishment. So after some time, unless there's an accident in the whole process, that the trainer can put his hand before the tiger, place his head before the tiger, and the tiger won't bite his head off because that's the source of his food. So he can control the tiger by initial neglect, and then he can engage the tiger in jumping through hoops and doing things that he wants the tiger to do to get his food. That's an example Prabhupada would sometimes give for neglect, neglecting the mind, because now the mind is a monkey or a tiger or a problem. How to control the mind, neglect. And then very carefully ration what goes to the mind. Like that. So the one-stroke method is bhakti. Just a little sharing. Prabhupada was explaining bhakti is the blacksmith method and other processes are the goldsmith method. And he explained his metaphor this way. A goldsmith has a piece of gold, a little hammer, and tap, 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 made some sound. And it takes a long time to shape the gold to the way the goldsmith wants the gold to be shaped. But the blacksmith places the iron in the fire, places the iron on an anvil, takes a big sledgehammer, and boom! One stroke, everything finished. Prabhupada's words. So bhakti is the blacksmith method. The others, very, very slow, very gradual. Bhakti process is most effective because not only the mind then goes in the direction that's pleasing to Krishna because of bhakti, but specifically, Canto 3, chapter 25, something like around verse 23, Kapila Dev says, bhakti has the power to dissolve the subtle body. So not only the material mind becomes controlled and spiritualized, it dissolves. And then that remains as the material, the spiritual mind, or the dictates of the soul, rather than the dictates of the material mind. It's essential in any yoga practice, yoga meaning connecting with the Supreme. The mind is the source of deliverance. Of course, Krishna is the source of deliverance, but directing the mind to Krishna is the source of deliverance. And that's, so that's the position of liberation. And then the other is the position of bondage if you don't do that. Or you're complacent. Or so conditioned that you can't seem to say yes to Krishna. You just kind of make a half-hearted yes to Krishna. And then the conditioning wins. And thus bondage. And the bondage is things we don't like. But where we have such affinity for the mind that we get things we don't like and then whine and complain. Oh, this and oh, that. But it's the bargain. That we went to the used car lot and we bought a used car that was broken. We bought a problem. And I keep breaking and breaking because you bought a lemon. So, the advocacy of Jadbar to Rahugana and, of course, the Bhagavatam to us is don't heed that attention of the mind. Neglect it. And instead, heed the attention of the soul. How do we know what the attention or the desire of the soul is? Well, through Krishna and Krishna's representatives, disciplic succession, we know. And then, so that's the super soul is giving direction, but we're on a different channel. And the scripture is there, but when we read scripture, we read something else other than the intended message, and therefore qualified persons to guide us in that process is necessary. And one other thing, I find it interesting, is Atmalingam. Now, generally speaking, lingam is used to mean body. Lingam sharira. It's, you know, the body. Here is Atma lingam, and Prabhupada is, because the word immediately previously is mana, so this Atma lingam is modifying mana. So he therefore has said it's the Atma lingam is designation. And then because of designation, it's in the purport, we get a body. Because of designation, we get a body. And that designation is who we think we are. And who we think we are is the conception of life that's carried in the mind. Of course, a very powerful driver of that is false ego. And that you heard about yesterday morning, the role that false ego plays. But false ego has his helper, and that's the mind. And then material intelligence gets involved in the whole process, the subtle body. But specifically, emphasis is given here in the mind as the designation. Now, we are familiar, ISKCON devotees are familiar with this word designation using a different Sanskrit term. What's that other Sanskrit term? Huh? Upadi. Upadi. You know the verse? Sarva upadi. Vinir moktam tat paratvina nirmalam. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam. So upadi, we're accustomed to hearing designation as upadi. Like whatever body type you have. Man or woman, black or white, this nation, that nation, and so forth. And then the subtle designation. I'm a person that's very tolerant. I'm a person that gets easily angered. I'm a person that, you know, so the gross and subtle covering, that's the upadi. It's a designation. Those that attended the Tattva Sandarbha seminar will hopefully remember that the term upadi has other meanings, like, here's another meaning, a classic meaning from the Vedas, where the upadi, there's land, and there's something that covers the land, like, say, a lake, or pond, make it easier, a pond, a puddle. So the pond or the puddle is an upadi over the land, because beneath the puddle or the lake is land. It's land. But there's just this portion of the land that's covered by a lake. And so we say, this is a lake and that's land. But it's actually land. So in the broader sense, there's the soul, that's who we are, and the soul becomes covered by designations or upadis. So if you're a Mayavadi, there's no Mayavadis in the room, right? If you're a Mayavadi, then you would say, since upadis is not who you are, get rid of all upadis, and guess what? You become Brahman. You become God. In fact, you are God, just covered by some designation. Get rid of the designations and you're God. Take sannyas, and you're God. Just say it. No. Narayana. That's it. Pretty simple. And so Jiva Goswami explains with great precision and detail and acumen that that's not the correct understanding. It's an incomplete understanding of the word upadi or designation, because we need to understand what is the designation. The lake is covering what? Or the designation, here in this case, the mind, Atma Lingam, different term, but same implication, is covering who we really are. The mind's conceptions of life are covering who we really are. Now we're meant to discover who we really are. Self-discovery. And God discovery is they go together, not separately. He's advising, Judd Bart is advising the king, don't be betrayed by the mind. And the mind dictates all these things, shoka, moha, and so forth and so on. And don't be betrayed by that, because that's not who you are. But those that think that that's who I am, exactly what Prabhupada is saying here, the uncontrolled mind says, I'm this body. Now, generally we take that notion, I am this body, to be false ego. False ego is a misconception of self. False ego, misconception of self. But that conception is carried in the mind. Therefore, this understanding that Kapilatate gives, the bhakti process dissolves the mind. But how do you get to dissolve the subtle body, false ego, and material intelligence, and the contaminated mind, or here is using the word the impure mind, by replacing it with the pure mind knows that he is not the material body. This knows what he's not, but he also knows who he is. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. That's who I am. And then I live my life accordingly. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. This circumstance, that's all the different morning till night and every day of my life. These sadhanas to cultivate that. That's who I am. And for that matter, that's who others are. I may forget it, others may forget it, but I know that that's reality. That's controlling the mind. Therefore, the mind is considered to be the root of all material designations. That's the explanation of the Atmalingam language, is the mind is the root of the lingam. Because the mind is carrying the conception that says, I'm this body. So then we get a body according to guna and karma, just like it's described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13. You get the body of a dog and you behave like a dog. You get the body of a king, you behave the same soul, and you behave like a king. And of course, according to guna and karma, you behave like a king. Some bad kings and some good kings. But based upon the covering, this atma lingam, that what goes on in the mind determines the body you get and determines how you behave. And you're not stuck, because you can go beyond that contamination of mind by controlling the mind and directing the mind to the desire of Krishna through the means given by Krishna, through the specific succession, through scripture and understanding the scripture in the proper way and applying it in your life, and you can go beyond the mind and beyond the cycle of birth and death. And go to Krishna. So his advice is, O king, please try to conquer the mind by this weapon, the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. So that's the summation. The concluding verses of a chapter are often summarizing everything that came previously. That's what this is doing, for sure. And we're ready for the next chapter tomorrow morning. Any discussion? Yes.
Now, in the chapter, you know, when I hear the word lingam, the first thing I think of is the shy lights and the Catholic stone, which is often a better object of worship.
Yeah.
Is there any relation between the designation of the soul and the Shiva Lingam?
Sure. It's just, you know, sure. It has similar connotations, although it's a stone. It's indicating Lord Shiva. And I mean, it goes more than just indicating Lord Shiva, but that's good enough. Yeah. Those are material elements. The material elements are covering the spiritual entity. The spiritual entity also has thinking, feeling, willing, has a spiritual mind. The living entity also has the power of discrimination, that's intelligence. The living entity also has a sense of self, that's ego. There's a spiritual mind, intelligence, and ego. The material elements cover, obscure, upadi, like a lake covering land.
So these three things, in your condition, these three things also there, spiritual mind,
intelligence, yeah. Yeah, we have feelings, and we, you know, make choices. We carry conceptions, spiritual mind. Sometimes it's described that the mind, the material elements, not just the mind, but the gross elements can become spiritualized by contact with the internal potency. And in the fully mature stage, it becomes, according to Kapila Dev, dissolved, leaving the fully spiritual mind, intelligence, and ego, the soul.
So, rather, the spiritual mind and the material mind, it's not two separate entities, it's just one is covered.
Well, supposing you have a hand, and supposing you have a glove. Now for the fingers of the glove to move, you have to move your fingers of your hand. So now the material mind is a covering of the soul. It's not the same. It's not the same entity. It's a covering. It's one of the elements. It's a material element. It's not the same as the spiritual mind. We forget who we are. We get true ego. You forget the proper accepting, rejecting function of the mind because of the influence of the covering. And we identify with the covering through our good friend false ego. We identify with it. And we forget who we are. So the spiritual mind is kind of dormant. Spiritual intelligence has a siesta.
You say it's material mind and intelligence, reflections of
spirit. Yeah, yes, exactly. Very good, very good, very good. Shravan.
Driven by passion, the mind.
The mind. Driven by passion, okay.
Could be a reality like abuse or assumption of abuse.
I don't understand your question.
Can I elaborate?
Yeah, please.
And then leads to take like revenge.
You're just describing, you know, one of the unlimited varieties of illusion. So sure, no problem. It's one of the varieties of illusion.
Right. Dhruva Maharaj is trying to take revenge on his father.
Yeah, right.
like in the course of practicing.
Well, his stepmother. His stepmother.
Like in the course of practicing, if one faces abuses, the mind tends to deploy the activity of devotion to take it and let me also be. Otherwise, there is.
What's your point?
Otherwise, I don't feel enthusiasm.
Why? Then you're missing the bhakti point. You're materially driven. And what's at the other end of being materially driven? There's a bully at the end of that dark alley. He's going to beat you up. That's what's going to happen. Unless, by Krishna's mercy, like what happened with Dhruva, there was something very special about Dhruva. Something very special about Dhruva was his gratitude for Narada Muni. That lifted him. It's not doing the things. It's the gratitude that carried him to where he was free. Bhakti was the power that dissolved that revenge. That seed of that bhakti was his gratitude for Narada. Do you want to jivana?
I was thinking about yesterday's class. Someone was speaking about how we go through the cycle of samsara.
Yeah.
Speaking about the moment of the departure, speaking about reruns. Just contemplating this subject intellectually.
Sure.
Maybe intuitively we can feel it to some degree. The question is, on the path of bhakti, at some point does the devotee actually feel fatigue? Because on the soul level they recognize I've been doing this for so long and they actually feel that kind of fatigue. Is that experienced?
I'm not sure what your question is. Is that experience?
Meaning the feeling of fatigue.
You're asking, is it a real experience?
Yes.
It's the mind. The soul doesn't get fatigued. The soul doesn't get fatigued. The soul can, you know, a little light can go on. Boy, I've been wasting my time. But the soul is a spark of Krishna. So there can be regret and all, you know, but I'm not sure what you're asking, to be honest.
There's a picture of the Kathopanishad verse of the chariot and the mind and the reins and the intelligence of the prime and the soul is sitting on the passion of the sea. You see that picture, it's portrayed as the soul's kind of like,
Yes, that's right.
So that picture comes to mind.
Well, that's not fatigue. He's energized. Let me, you know. Is the mind. Just, you know, turn attention to Krishna. That's what the soul does in its rightful position. No, the mind can, material mind can say this, the material intelligence can say that, and our experience this and that, put them together and put it in a paper bag and shake it up, and, you know, we get material life. So, we can experience fatigue, but doesn't mean that's at the soul level. It's mind. Guess what? Let some time pass and we'll feel something else. It's the mind. We forget the fatigue and we try again, like donkeys. Yes. Hare Krishna, good to see you again. Been a while. Circumstance.
If one has allowed the mind to tell itself that you're this body, how does the mind explain the soul?
How does the mind do what?
Explain the soul. Or does it just not accept that there is a soul?
Well, it depends on who the mind is. which person has the mind? That, you know, different people say different things. If you're a scientist, you say there's, you know, something. If you're a Buddhist, you'll say something else. You know, you get different minds. And then you have somebody else that says, I don't know, and then I'm an agnostic. So it depends. And a lot of all of that depends on association. And things like, you know, feeling exhausted and, you know, through association with misery. So,
it doesn't seem like a very pleasant state.
No. It's really dumb, besides unpleasant. It, you know, intelligence went to sleep. And we just keep doing it anyways. And you think, you know, I'll just do it smarter. Anyway. So there is an alternative. And people are looking for that alternative, but part of the problem is they're rebellious towards Krishna. So they're looking in some other dark place. One of the things that I'm running into and encountering as I go here and there is the eclecticism spirit that says, I don't want descending knowledge. I want to gather knowledge and go here and go there and go the other place and gather knowledge. And I apply that which works for me. You know people like that. I know. Meeting an increasing number of people like that. And you know, some of it is, anyway, there's rather than the garden varieties of weeds, aversion to the personality of Godhead is at the root, and accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the solution. But it takes a while to get there for, you know, depending upon the prior association that one has had and whatever it is, the bad experiences from somebody that was a cheater and they got cheated, or their independent spirit, or, you know, it's all complicated. So therefore, the simple principle is being presented here. Why and what to do. Yes.
I found that in my own life, feeling a very heavy sense of responsibility helps to reject the mind.
Yeah, you say a strong yes to something, it's easy to not pay so much attention to other things. Yeah.
So, specifically, you know,
being a mother.
Yeah, so
such a great. How did I know? Well, it's you know, the question you're asking is very broad, and I'll try to narrow it and say, depends. You know, it depends on the circumstance of someone's life, or even, you know, the particular stage that they're passing through at a particular time. It may not be so wise to take on heavy responsibility. Maybe wise to take on some responsibility and do it consciously. And then celebrate. Wow, that was great. Okay, what's another, I like that, intense. And some persons are good to, like, you know, push them in the pool. Depends. Because, you know, they, it's for different factors. Okay, I'm going to end there. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai.